This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Wednesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 376, up 2.5. July corn, 383, up 2. September corn, 390.75, up 2. May soybeans, 965, up 4.75. July soybeans, 967.75, up 3.75. August soybeans, 966, up 3.5. May wheat, 490.75, down 6.25. July wheat, 489, down 7.5. September wheat, 498, down 7.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mostly higher on Wednesday afternoon. And in northern and western Illinois on Wednesday, country grain news quoted shell corn bids 2 to 3 higher at 349 to 371. Soybean bids up 5 to 6 cents at 931 to 967. In central Illinois, country grain news quoted shell corn bids up 2 cents at 348 to 372. Soybean bids were 5 cents higher, ranging from 945 to 965. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 to 3 higher at 362 to 379. Soybean bids up 5 cents at 945 to 970, with wheat prices down 5 to 10 at $4 to 459. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 5 cents higher at 977 to 985, basis steady ranging from 12 to 20 over the May. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $316.50 to $336.50 per ton, down $2.10, with basis steady ranging from 5 to 25 over the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 3 cents higher at $373 to $390, with basis steady ranging from 3 under to 14 over the May. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 3 to 4 higher at 373 to 375, with basis steady to 1 cent higher at 3 under to 1 under the May. Soybeans ended 4 to 5 cents stronger at 962 to 968, with basis steady to 1 cent lower at 3 under to 3 over the May. And new crop wheat bids along the river are 8 cents lower at 471 to 481, with basis steady ranging from 18 under to 8 under July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators place their producer corn bids 2 to 3 higher at 392 to 393. These same elevators raise their soybean prices 5 to 6 cents with quotations at 986 to 987. Soft wheat up 6 at 491 to 498, and Milo ended 2 cents higher for the day at 441 to 442. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country grain dealer bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 359 to 371. New crop soybean bids at 897 to 9.25. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 356 up to 371. New crop soybean bids were at 914 up to 932. And new crop bids for corn in southern Illinois, they range from 359 up to 374. New crop soybean bids $9 even to 928. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, they range from 450 up to 477. That completes our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Wednesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 160.72, up $1.12. June live cattle, 151.67, up $1.25. August live cattle, 149, up $1.02. April feeder cattle, 215.22, up $2.02. May feeder cattle, 212.42, up $1.62. August feeder cattle, 214.22, up $1.47. April lean hogs, 62.87, down 30 cents. May lean hogs, 69.45, down $2.25. June lean hogs, 75.47, down $3. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday the 15th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 57 cents higher in the range of 54 to 63.50 with a weighted average carcass price of 62.30. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 25 to 30, 4 to 5 weights 28 to 32, 5 to 6 weights 31 to 35, and 6 weights and up 33 to 39. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading a dollar higher with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $38 to $43. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 13,932 head. And now for the report from the Fairview Sale Barn, they had receipts of 212 head. Choice slaughter steers were bringing 161.50 to 166.75. Choice slaughter heifers were bringing 161 to 167.75. On to slaughter cows, premiums 120, breakers 105 to 112.50, with high dressing at 114 to 119. Boners were 104 to 111.50, and high dressing 115 to 121.50. Leans were $89 to $93.50. Now over to United Producers Auction at Shelbyville. They had receipts of 496 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 160 to 166. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 150 to 156. And choice slaughter heifers were 159 to 164. They also had 24 head of bred cows, young to middle-aged, medium to large frame, second to third stage, bringing 1650 to 2050. Now for the opening report from the Greenville Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 400 head. Steers and heifers were 2 to 250 higher. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they ranged from 161 to 171.50, and choice slaughter heifers, 159 to 173. Now from the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report. Steers on a live basis were 161 to 165, and on a dress basis, 256. Heifers on a live basis traded at 162. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 538 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $67.29, that was 81 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $260.80, that was $2.35 higher, with select carcasses at $251.22, that was $1.80 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 110,000. That compared to 104,000 last week and 116,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 431,000. That compared to 432,000 last week and 412,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll hear about a House debate to repeal the estate tax. That's coming up after this. The House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee voted 36 to 22 Wednesday to pass the Regulatory Integrity Protection Act of 2015, which requires the EPA and Army Corps of Engineers to withdraw its proposed Waters of the U.S. rule within 30 days. The bill also directs the agencies to develop a new proposed rule that must consider all of the comments received and reach consensus with the state and local governments on defining waters of the United States. It is now up to Congress to act on the legislation. The House started debate on repeal of the estate tax, likely to stretch past the House vote this week into debate on a comprehensive tax bill after the next presidential election. Republicans kicked off discussions on the estate tax repeal on Tax Day to highlight what they argue is the unfairness of taxing the estates of those who die after spending a lifetime building a business. The bill is seen as a setup for a sweeping tax reform bill in 2017. Ohio Republican Steve Stivers.
The death tax conflicts with the American dream, and it is inherently unfair. The death tax hurts family businesses, family farmers, and ranchers. In fact, according to the Joint Economic Committee, the death tax hurts economic growth and activity by discouraging savings and small business growth. It represents a tiny fraction of federal revenue, but its impact on families is enormous.
But that's not the feeling of all congressmen, like Colorado's Jared Polis.
When my friends call this the death tax or somehow say this will help small business, let's keep in mind, you don't even pay inheritance tax on the first $5 million of your estate, $10 million for a married couple. So you can die with a $5 million small business, a $10 million small business for a couple. Your heirs pay zero tax on that.
Polis argues that the $269 billion spent by ending the estate tax should be spent instead on lowering taxes for businesses so their owners can grow those businesses while they're living rather than get a tax break after they're deceased. The U.S. Department of Agriculture Tuesday afternoon confirmed the first case of H5N2 avian influenza in Iowa. It was found in a commercial turkey flock in Buena Vista County in northwest Iowa. The flock of 27,000 turkeys is located within the Mississippi Flyway, where this strain of avian influenza has previously been identified. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey thinks the likely source of the avian influenza was a migratory bird.
Of course, we don't know exactly where it came from, but we see no connection with other farms, so we think likely it came from a migratory bird that would have had contact one way or the other with some turkeys at this farm.
Northey says the affected farm and nearby poultry farms have been quarantined.
But this turkey farm will be depopulated. It is under quarantine and neighboring farms are under quarantine. So we will do testing at those neighboring farms. We're working in cooperation with the U.S. Department of Ag. And we'll do testing to confirm that it has not spread at all from this farm. And certainly then, after a period of time, be able to open that area back up for moving birds. But for right now, we ask that no birds are moved from that area in a risk of protecting birds in other places from the exposure to avian influenza.
Northey says his department is working on a joint incident response with USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, or APHIS. He says they are also working directly with poultry workers at the affected facility to ensure that they are taking the proper precautions. Spring got off to a rough start for the wheat crop. Kyle Brazzi with CHS and Shipman gives an update on how the wheat crop in the area is coming along.
The wheat crop is starting to perk up a little bit. So I'd say about half of the fields that we walk have gone to where we'd say they're in good condition. A little bit earlier in the year, you know, we didn't know what we were going to end up with. A lot of plant stands that were very thin in some cases where we went ahead and left a few of those fields. In fact, we had some plant stands that were in the low 20s, even in that square foot range. And now we're actually past that feeks 5, feeks 6. We're in that grand growth stage where that crop is really starting to green up and take off. So I'm optimistic about the fields that have made it. There's still that, say, 15 to 20% of the fields that we had to take out that we don't think will be a wheat field. But the ones that are there right now seem to be okay.
While the condition of the wheat crop locally is a pleasant surprise, the same cannot be said in the main wheat-producing states.
Yeah, it's just too dry out west. I know that what we do in Illinois doesn't necessarily impact the wheat market as much as what happens out west, and they've been so dry so long that that's really going to devastate that wheat market out there. And we suspect that, we're hoping, I guess I should say, that we can still have a good quality crop. It's important that we manage the weeds, the disease, the fertility, all of the things that we can do to make sure this wheat crop turns out to be good for us yet. And we're still going to have some of those fields with the drowned out areas that won't make it, but I'm optimistic about the fields that are that we are going to keep.
Brazzi said the amount of wheat acres in his area is down significantly this year. He highlights some of the reasons why.
And just because of the fall, Angela, we were down on wheat acres getting planted. Probably a solid 20% off of where we would normally be in the little world that I work with here. And then take that in consideration with the other fields that won't make it. So I look for a decline in the total acres of wheat in the area and know that that's probably the case over more than just where I work. As you go further south into Illinois, too, that they're going to have those same answers for you.
When it comes to making sure farmers get a good wheat crop in the future, Brazzi says fall planting and stand establishment is the most crucial factor.
You know, the stand establishment in the fall is a big deal. We want to make sure that we're getting good seed soil contact, and planting depth is a big deal. We don't want those plants to heave out over the winter. I haven't seen many cases where that was the issue. Most of the problems that I've seen this year were just too much water and too wet for too long, and we planted kind of late. So, you know, we want to be as close to, but as soon after the Hessian fly-free date when we're doing our planting. That'll give us a little bit of boost in the fall, but we just didn't have the ability to get that done this year.
Outside of the realm of wheat, Brazzi touches on the main issues farmers are concerned about this growing season.
We're getting a lot of phone calls right now on these fields that are greening up. So not much anhydrous ammonia on, not much spring work has been done because of the weather this spring. But those fields that are starting to green up, talk with your crop specialist on what to spray. We can keep those fields clean. We need to start working on that. Some of the things that it concerns me about would be, we have the fields that are really green will stay wet longer. We'll tie up some fertility, and insect pressure will be higher in those fields. So we worry about black cutworms and things. So if we see flights of those start to pick up here in the next few weeks, that we'll be worrying about that extra insect pressure from these green fields. So pay attention to what's going on out there, and we're working on those problems.
Again, that was Kyle Brazzi with CHS and Shipman. Brazzi also cautions farmers to stay safe this spring planting season. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.